now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Before we go to prayer, if you'd open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And Wednesday evening we spoke on having the same faith as Jesus lived by, knowing that he was the eldest son in a vast family of brothers. He then lived his life for the brethren, and living by the same faith or revelation, it brings us to the place where we become conformed to his image. This morning I would like to speak on the subject of then standing fast in this faith. And for our text, if we'd open our Bibles again, 1 Corinthians 16, we're going to read from verse 13 to 14. The Apostle Paul says, "Be on the watch always, and stand fast in this revelation, and quit being like other men. Be strong, and let everything you do be done with love in your hearts toward one another." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to help us, O God, to understand better the faith of the Son of God, and to stand fast, Lord, in this faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't those beautiful words? How precious they would be to us who have come into the unity of the faith through the understanding of the Son of God. In fact, we read in Ephesians 1:13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith," and as Brother Brown said, there's only one faith, and that's the faith of the one Lord, "and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." One more scripture, Philippians 1:27, "Let your manner of life be more abounding and fruitful in Jesus Christ, as it becometh the gospel of Christ." And the gospel means good news. "That whether I come and see you, or else be absent from you, I may still hear of your affairs. That you are standing fast and firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the revelation of the good news brought to you in this hour." And what good news it is when we come to the unity of the faith, which comes through the understanding of Jesus Christ. Now, this word "established" that Paul says here, he says that you are standing firm in one spirit. And here he says, "Stand fast in the revelation and quit being like other men. Be strong and let everything you do be done with love in your hearts toward one another." And Paul tells us that we must be established in the word. The word "established" that he uses simply means to be stable. So Paul's talking about when you're standing fast, he's talking about being stable, not being vacillating, you know, wishy-washy, but actually standing fast, holding firm. From a sermon, "Be Not Afraid," Brother Brown said, "The revival's over, and we hear not long ago why the revival was burning. And now it seems like it's kind of hard to get the church filled up. The pastors tell me that it's hard nowadays, and the people won't go to church. They'd rather stay home and watch television or something. The love has gone out of their heart." So you can associate then the love of the Lord with revival. And the Bible says that, you know, that if the Lord didn't come quickly, that no there'd actually be no flesh saved, and the love of many would wax cold. From his sermon, "Christ Revealed His Own Word," he said, and notice also, Brother Baxter, "Hear not long ago why the revival was burning." I actually did a study on this and saw that in 1958-59, Brother Bram said that the revival is not over. This is 1963, and actually in 62 he began saying the revival is over. So something took place at that time. A fine minister said to me a while ago, he said, "Brother Bram, if I could just have the joy of the Lord in my heart." And I said, "Son, the revival's over. See, now the stabilizers have been put on the ship. Great fearful waves are out here before us, but we know just beyond that wave, yonder, we're nearing the shore." See, we're nearing the shore. Just stay stable. So we hear Brother Ram say, after revival is over, there is one thing for us to do, and that is to just stay stable. As the Apostle Paul said, "When you've done all that you can do to stand, then stand." Because that is all there's left to do. In fact, that is all that Noah could do after preaching the message of his hour for 120 years and being totally rejected all but his family He entered into the ark and he stood his ground. He had heeded the Lord's command. He did what the Lord had asked him to do. He built the ark. And when it was all done and said, because he preached for 120 years, he had one thing left to do, and that was just to enter the ark and then just stand. From conflict between God and Satan, Brother Branham said, into the ark he went. And when he went into the ark, you know what? God shut the door. Oh my. Nobody had to shut it. God shut it. That was all. The last chance to be saved was gone. So I'd imagine the kids got around in arm in arm around that about 500 yard arc there. And the old folks walked up and they said, "Why, that old fellow will smother to death in there." See? So on, making fun of him just the same, made jeering. And you know, every person, now listen, maybe this will help you. Listen close. When you take God's word and follow God's word, there's many times that after that you've already done all that you can do, your faith is put to the test. There's nobody here but home folks. I'm standing on that ground right now. That's right. I don't know what to do. The revival's over. You see, I don't know where the next call is. I'm just standing nervously looking, wondering what's next. Now, can you imagine for 120 years, Noah preaching the gospel to the people of salvation into the ark? Finally, when the ark is completed, and Noah's told by God to go into the ark, he goes into the ark, and for 7 days he sits there wondering, when? 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 For 7 days he sits there. God had already shut the door. When? And we in this hour, we're asking the same question. When, Lord? When will it all happen? Now remember, the Bible tells us that when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. Over in Europe, our president was pounding that message. Peace and safety, peace and safety, peace and safety. Even his daughter was pounding that message. Peace and safety. The Polish president pounding that message. Peace and safety. Is this the time when sudden destruction will come? We don't know. All we know is we're just standing here. And as Brother Brown said, I don't know where the next call is. I'm just standing nervously looking, wondering what's next. In Ephesians 6:13 we read, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Notice, stand, but have your loins prepared to move forward. We go over to 1 Peter 1 and 13, he says the same thing. At the hour of the revelation of Jesus Christ, he says, you've got to have your loins girded. That means you've got to be ready to enter a race, because it's going to be a race to the finish. Again, the Apostle Paul tells us, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle." In Philippians 4 and 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So the admonition goes out over and over and over again. Stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast. And of course, the Bible says, by faith, Noah. And we know from our studies that Brother Ram taught us that faith is a revelation. Therefore, when we live by faith of the Son of God, as the Apostle Paul said, as he taught us in Galatians 2 and 20, and our life is hid with Christ, which means it is covered over by the very life of the Son of God, as he also taught us in Colossians 3, 3 to 4, then we are living by the same revelation the Son of God lived by. The same revelation that he was God's Son, and God was indwelling him in the same, is the same revelation that we're to live by. And by our living by that same revelation, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that our very lives are in order with his life. In fact, we can find all through the scripture that if we have the Spirit, or if we echo the Spirit, then we will also echo the life. All right. Now, Brother Conrad in Australia, precious brother over there, he sent me this quote I'm going to read from Brother Bram's sermon, Jehovah Jireh, where Brother Bram said, "To believe the word is to receive the word and let it become life." To believe the word is to receive the word and let it become life. Now God showing that they're how he was confirming this covenant. See, God confirms his spirit in you by the life living in you. It has to be that way. The church, not an organization, not a denomination, but the individual. And God has to become the same spirit. That's God's purpose in the beginning. Adam and Eve was the same spirit. The Bible said in Genesis in 1:27, in the image of God, God's the spirit. In the image of God, created he a male and female, created he them in the spirit form that was in God. So when we are conformed to the image of the firstborn son, it's not that you have beard and long hair and nail scars in your hands, whatever. It's your spirit is the same as his spirit. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And that's what we're being conformed to in this hour, to the image of the firstborn son who is in the image of God. And that is what the faith of the firstborn son is all about, understanding how that he and God were one, because God is the word, and he became the expression of the word, thus the very expression of God himself. Now from his sermon, Doran or Brother Bram said, now when you have prayed, remember Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and it shall be given to you. Do you believe it? Say amen. I believe that I receive what I've asked for. I've consecrated my life to Jesus Christ, and from this day henceforth, I really mean it, God. I'll walk before you until it becomes such a reality, till I'm hid altogether in Christ Jesus. Therefore, this morning, I wish to show that when we have come to the revelation of the Son of God being lived out in our own lives, that is where we must take our stand, and when we have done all that we can do to stand, then we simply just stand on that. That is the last thing for us to do, is to stand on that revelation and let it manifest itself in and through us. And it is by this faith that we stand, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, be on the watch always and stand fast in this revelation and quit being like other men. Be strong. And let everything that you do be done with love in your hearts toward one another. So we see that it is concerning this faith that we stand, and since there is only one faith and one Lord, then that faith is the revelation of that one Lord, and since revelation is defined as manifestation of divine truth, then it is this manifestation of the Son of God in sons that we take our stand upon, for as his Son was indwelt by him, he's indwelling us as well. And we move and breathe and have our entire being as a representation of his very own life. In Acts 17:28, it tells us, for in him we live, and in him we move, and have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by arts and man's devices. In other words, it's us. We are him. We're in his image. We ought to know better, for by one spirit we're all baptized into one body, and being in one body, we live by the faith of the Son of God. The same revelation he lived by, we live by. That is why we can stand fast in the faith, in this faith, for we know that we have this faith, which is a revelation. For revelation means manifestation of divine truth, and according to Romans 8:16, God's Spirit has borne witness with our spirit, and we see the manifestation of the revelation in our own lives. So we are commanded by the Apostle Paul that we come to the place of the revelation of Christ, that we are to stand strong. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, we read, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Again, in 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your faith, by faith ye stand. Therefore, our being able to stand in such a day of evil and pressures, we could not do without our standing being based upon the faith of the Son of God, as Paul says in Romans 5:2. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Our rejoicing in hope of the doxa, of having the very mind, very opinions, very values of God. And since we're standing upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, the very life of Christ is living itself out in our bodies. In fact, that is what the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 3:8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Well, then you're not living until then. In other words, you're not living like he wants you to live anyway. And in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And even Jesus taught us that this revelation of Christ would be brought by the Son of Man, and we would take our stand in his presence, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before or in the presence of the Son of Man. Now, I'd like to ask the question then, how can I just stay stable with so much falsehood being preached among the churches, not only in so-called Christianity, but in this message as well? Well, Brother Branham goes on to tell us how that we can stay stable in Christ revealed in his own word. Paragraph 156, he says, just stay stable in the word. Stay with God. No matter how you feel, what anything else, stay right with the word. Let it stay stable. When you see all these great big old clouds around us and storms are coming and atomic bombs and everything else they're talking about, but our stabilizer is right straight in the Word. God said it would be there. We'll crest every one of them. Yeah. We'll go right over the top of them. Yes, indeed. They can't sink us. They can't drown us. You put us in the grave, we'll come up again. That's just all there is to it. There ain't no way in the world to keep it down there. We'll caress every one of them, because our great chief captain is calling at the other side, because we're anchored in Jesus. The storms of life will break. I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. Whatever it might be, let it come. What it will, doesn't make any difference. We're anchored right there in Jesus. If I live, I'll live to the glory of God. If I die, I'll die to the glory of God. Just to the glory of God is what I want to do. When that's all over, I don't want to stay any longer. I want to go to my reward that he bought for me, not what I earned, but what he bought for me, what he gave me by his grace. Now this morning, I would like to just take our message from these thoughts where Brother Branham is saying, just stay stable. Just stay in the word. Stay with God. No matter how you feel, but anything else, stay right with the word. And then in paragraph 157, he also added, whatever it might be, let it come. What it will. Doesn't make any difference. We've anchored right there in Jesus. If I live, I'll live to the glory of God. If I die, I'll die to the glory of God. I just to the glory of God is all I want to do. When that's all over, I don't want to stay any longer. I want to go to where my reward that he bought for me, not what I earned, but what he bought me by his grace. And I'd like to just break down these thoughts of Brother Branham's for just make possibly three different points. Number one, I would like to show how important stability is for us in these times, especially as we see, as we should be soon approaching the squeeze, which it could be this year. We don't know. Number two, I want to show you what stability is and what happens when we are able to be anchored in Christ, i.e. the rest and peace that comes from God alone. And number three, I would like to show you what brings stability into our lives. And also, I would like to show you what can cause your stability to waver. Because if we waver back and forth in anything, then we're not stable. And the Lord wishes that we be stable and therefore not founded upon a rock which is immovable. Now, let's begin with point number one. The importance of being stable in these times, especially as we should be approaching the squeeze. And, you know, squeeze is an economic term. It's used in the Wall Street Journal and New York Times, those magazines. And it has to do with the pressures building up on the financial system. And Brother Brown said when the squeeze comes, that's when basically the governmental authorities and the church and the denominational pressures come down. And let's face it, because when there's only so many resources to go around, only so many dollars left to go around, it's going to get quite hairy. For those who are translating, hairy means difficult and pressures and those things. All right. Matthew 13:45-46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Notice his focus was only on one thing. Not on a whole bunch of pearls, but on one pearl. one specific. Notice this parable of the pearl of great price tells us one thing. When you are focused on what you want, you then set yourself to attaining it. And you let nothing come in between you and that objective. Now, I was listening to a tape called Faith by Experience, Brother Branham. And two sisters that were in the healing line at the end missed their healing. It was there for them. All they had to do was say amen or claim it. And they just stood there like dumb stricken deer with headlights on them. And Brother Branham said, sorry, sister, you just missed it. The rapture is going to be that way. People are going to miss it. That woman, in 3 seconds, she missed her healing. And then another one, like 2 or 3 people later, another one missed theirs. You let nothing come in between you and that objective. Nothing. That brings stability. To be stable means to be singularly focused. On a sailboat, you have one keel, and that is for stability. And then you have one rudder, and that is to steer the boat. Could you imagine if you had a rudder in the front and in the back? You'd be going in circles. Can you imagine if you had a keel going this way and a keel going this way? You wouldn't go anywhere. Can you imagine if you have two lords? You're going to have two faiths. You won't have stability knowing who to pray to. Brother Brown said in Sermon Christ revealed his own word. And a fine minister said a while ago, said, Brother Branham, if I could just have the joy of the Lord in my heart, and I said, son, the revival's over. See? Now the stabilizer has been put on the ship. Great fearful waves are out there before us, but we know that just beyond the wave yonder, we're nearing the shore. See? We're nearing the shore. Just stay stable. Just stay in the Word, stay with God, no matter how you feel, what anything else, stay right with God. The Word. Our stabilizer is right with the Word. He said, let us stay stable. When you see all these great big old clouds around us and storms come coming and atomic bombs and everything else they're talking about, but our stabilizer is right straight in the Word. God said that we would crest every one of them. Yeah. You'll go right over the top of them. Yes, indeed. They can't sink us. They can't drown us if you're stable. And what makes us stable is the revelation or the faith of the Son of God. And if you truly have that revelation in your heart, there's nothing that can pull that away from you. You know that you're a son of God. You know that you have power. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Therefore, in order to stand, we must have one faith in one Lord. And that one faith is the faith of that one Lord, his faith. For he is the substance that we hope for to be like him. Brother Brown said in a sermon, Jesus Christ the same. He said, now, sometimes today, it's been said amongst many believers, they say about certain things, oh, that's against my faith. Our faith don't teach that. But there's only one real faith. The Bible said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and there's one faith, and that is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, Brother Brown said in a sermon, anointed ones at the end time, Gaddis and Jambres, now many, Matthew 24:24, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates, reprobate mind concerning the faith. Not a faith, the faith, one Lord. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms, not one for the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ, that's right. See, false baptisms. Why can't you have two? Because there would be no stability in you. You would be vacillating back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Derek, you remember when you were Catholic, Michael? Who do I pray to? Well, in the Catholic Church, just pray to Mary. So if you pray to Mary, nothing happened. My sister one time, she said, I've been praying to Mary and, just can't get my house sold. I said, Catherine, I said, try an experiment. I said, first of all, in business, I never go to the secretary. I go to the main man. I said, why don't you try praying to Jesus Christ? So she prayed to Jesus Christ. She sold the house within 10 days. All right? Time-tested faith, or faith by experience. You see, you begin getting, God gives you experiences, and we're going to maybe go into that Wednesday night. God uses experiences to build your faith, build your faith, build your faith. He gives you a little one. You key in on that. God gives you the reward. Then he gives you another. And you get in key on that. And pretty soon, you can stand in the face of a tornado. You can stand in the face of hurricanes. It wouldn't faze you one bit. All right? Because you know that you're a son of God. But that is why God is the head of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. Not two heads. Not two headships. But God is the head, and Jesus is the expression of God. That's what the Apostle Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 15:27. For he, God, hath put all things under his, the Son of God's feet. But when he, God, saith all things are put under him, the Son of God, it is manifest that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under the Son of God. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, the Son of God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto God, that put all things under him, the Son of God, that God may be all in all. One Lord. One faith. And that's in God. He is the head. Jesus is the older brother. He's not the daddy. Brother Brown explained this in the light of Revelation 21:23 in his sermon, Future Home. He said, where he says, Revelation 21:23, and they need no light for the lamp, and the Lord God is the light thereof. See, the Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness, and he ascended upon the throne in that perfect kingdom, when the kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all in all. See, that's what Paul said up there. He says, that God might be all in all. That's the very top up there. That put all things under him, the Son of God, that God may be all in all. And Brother Brown was saying that Jesus surrenders all. That he's been sitting on his Father's throne. And he surrenders it all back to God, that God might be all in all. Jesus sits upon his throne. Here is our Joseph. Then the king is that light that will be on top of Mount Zion, and his holy light will flood the entire city. Hallelujah. So it gets back to one thing. God. Elohim. Brother Brown further explains this relationship between Father and Son in a sermon. We would see Jesus. He said, look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, that it was Christ, the angel of the covenant, all right? And how many knows that was Jesus in Jesus, that same Spirit? Look, when they questioned him, St. John 6, calling your attention to it, they said, you say that you're greater than Abraham, and said that, why, you're not only 50 years old yet. He said, therefore, before Abraham was, I am. I am was in the burning bush. Is that right? A pillar of fire. When he was here on earth, he said, I come from God, I go to God. Did he not say it? And then if he came from the pillar of fire, he returned back to it again. After his death, burial, and resurrection, St. Paul was on his road down to Damascus, and a big bright light struck him in the face and blinded him. None of the rest of them saw it. Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the ground. What is this pillar of fire again? Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Is that right? So Brother Ram's letting us know that the Elohim, whose name is Jesus, was in the pillar of fire, and he was in his Son. So we're not dealing with a vessel, we're dealing with God. And God is Spirit. And when we are conformed to that image, we're not conformed in our flesh, we're conformed in our spirit. And then the Spirit will direct your flesh. So we see the single focus concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ must come in us in order to stand, as we see in James 1:2-8. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or finished off and entire or complete, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus also tells us in Luke 22:25-36, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentile exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. You are they which have committed unto me, have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on my thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail thee not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. If there ever was a time when our faith should be grounded and stable, it's in this hour. And that is why God gives us the trials that we go through in order to teach us stability in our faith, to bring it from one point to another in our life cycle and our growth toward maturity. From conflict between God and Satan, Brother Branham said, into the ark he went. And when he went into the ark, you know what? God shut the door. Oh my, nobody had to shut it. God shut it. That was all. The last chance to be saved was gone. So I'd imagine the kids got arm in arm around there, 500 yard arc there. And the old folks walked up and they said, why, that little fellow will smother in there. I know I've already read this quote, but I just want to make some emphasis here. There's many times that after you've already done all you can do, your faith is put to the test. There's nobody here but home folks, and I'm standing on that ground right now. That's right. I don't know what to do. The revival's over. You see, I don't know where the next call is. Now, this is a prophet of God, waiting on God, and sometimes he makes you wait. I'm just standing nervously, looking, wondering what's next. Now, when Brother Branham was going through this period of time between 1959, when he believed that the revival was still on, and 1962, when he was very sure that it was over. And people would come to him, ministers would come to him. They say, Brother Branham, I have no burden in my heart anymore to pray. He said, the revival's over. He said, we have come to the place where all we can do is stand on this word. That's it. You're not going to be able to work up, create, do, you know, build up, whatever. We've come to the place where it's either right or it's wrong. Either it is God living in us, both to will and to do, or he's not. And sometimes you go through a dry spell. That's where I feel like we're at right now. That's where I feel this morning. A real dry spell. So this message is really timely. Just a dry spell. I've got invitations. I've got invitations to Mauritius. It's an island off of Eastern Africa. I've got invitations to France to go do a dedication of a new church in October. I've got invitations to two different places in northern Peru, one place in Lima. That's three places in Peru. I've got invitations in two different places in Ecuador. And I could be like it was years ago. I could just be run, and I'm just waiting on God. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I can't possibly do all of them. So we see the promise of testing. 1 Peter 1, 3-7. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among those that are dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, which is reserved in heaven for you, and you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, that is ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if perchance there is a need for it, your in heaviness through manifold testings. Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you see, the trial is for the purpose of approval. He said that he would not be tested beyond that which we could endure. So therefore, the trials and tests are for the purpose of approval. And again, in 1 Peter 4, verse 12 to 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that is to try you as though some strange thing is happening unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So the trials are ordained to bring out the very character of Christ in us. For when we receive the revelation of Christ, we are tested in that revelation to bring out the very character of the Son of God that was manifest in him when he also was put to the test for the same revelation. Remember, he which began the work in you will perform it. Remember, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do. So what it is that when the trials come, and the trials, the waves, call them the clouds, whatever terminology we want to use, whatever metaphor. When the pressures come, whatever metaphor we want to use. If we have the revelation of Jesus Christ in our heart, if we're living by that same revelation, I am a son of God. I am a son of God. No different than the Son of God. I am a son of God. Then we know that all things are going to work together for the good. Then as Brother Brown said, whatever comes, let it come. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they said, you know what? You may throw us into the fiery furnace, and if God wishes to deliver us, he will, and if he doesn't, that's fine, but we're not going to bow down. We're going to stand on our revelation. The trials are ordained to bring out the very character of Christ in us, for when we receive the revelation of Christ, we are tested in that revelation to bring out the very character of the Son of God that was manifested in him when he also was put to the test for the same revelation. Remember, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. From a sermon communion, Brother Brown said, now, if God did not spare his own Son from cruel testings, then he will not spare you or I from cruel testings. And Jesus was here confronting the greatest test that he ever had, Gethsemane laid just before him, where that once and final all-sufficient test must come, when the burdens of the entire world laid upon his shoulder, there was no one in heaven or on earth that could ever have stood it but him. And to know that this decision, and it was one of the greatest victories that Christ ever won or proved, his great messiahship, as when he said, God, not my will, but thy will be done. That was the greatest victory that he had ever won. All the demons of torment was around to tempt him and try him. And when we get right with God, when our hearts become pure and the Holy Spirit has taken its place in our heart, it's the most glorious thing to have testing. The Bible tells us that our testings and trials are more precious to us than silver and gold of this world, so we should be thankful. In James 1 and 12 we read, blessed is the man that endureth testings, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Again, in Romans 5:1-11, we read, therefore, being justified by faith, which is revelation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this same revelation into this grace wherein we now stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, our hope, our desire is to have the same thoughts, the same mind that was in Christ, the same glory, the same opinions and values and judgments. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience works experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Again, we see in 2 Corinthians 1 and 12, Paul was telling the people that our rejoicing comes from the fact that the testimony of our conscience bears witness with God's word, and our actions become singularly focused with God's word. We read, for our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. And that, the word conversation doesn't mean what you're talking. It means your life, the way you're living, and more abundantly to you. So I see that this faith in which we stand is not just some mental condition, something that we believe in. And that is the reason our Father, our God, tries our faith, tries our revelation, is to bring into manifestation the very nature and character of Christ through our taking the same stand he took for this revelation. Again, we read from 1 Peter 4:12-13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice insomuch that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy. And we know his glory is to be revealed in us. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We read in James 2:14-26, what profit is it, brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what profit? What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, but the devil also believes, and he trembles. In other words, just your belief is not enough, but revelation is manifestation of divine truth. The revelation must be capped off by your living the same life, you're saying the same words, you're doing the works that he did. All right? In other words, you become him. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, complete, finished off? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now James is not speaking of works without faith, but he's saying that passive faith without an expression coming forth from it does not show any sign of life, and really doesn't show any sign of belief. Noah believed God, and he prepared the house, the ark. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling us, for now you are really living because you stand fast in the Lord. In Luke 11:33-34, and no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. And when thine eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Now, you don't light a candle and then hide it. The purpose of it is to illuminate what's around you, and so the gospel light. And Psalm 119 tells us that the word of God is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. In other words, it's to guide your every step you make in this life. Then if God's word is to lighten our path, what good does it do if we don't lighten our path? What good does it do if we don't walk in the light of it? Jesus said in John 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. And the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:5-8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light. Don't just say, well, I got this mental revelation. Mental revelation is not going to do you any good unless it drops into here. All right? Too much of that going on. People think because they got their doctrine right that they're going to make it. I'm sorry. Brother Brown said, you can have your doctrine right, but if your heart's wrong, you're not. He said, the guy that's got his heart right but doesn't have the doctrine right, he's in better shape than you are in front of God. Now, in Luke 11:34, Jesus said, if the focus of our eye is evil, then our body is full of darkness. Now, this word evil is translated from the Greek word porneros, which means pressed and harassed by labors, annoyed by Christian toil and peril to Christian faith and steadfastness. Therefore, if your focus is on the circumstances, your result will be evil that results from that focus. Like the woman who, Brother Ram said, you know, sister so-and-so, your name is such and such, and your condition is this and that. He said, accept your healing, and she just stood there. He said, accept your healing. And she missed it. She missed it. I would hate to be in her shoes. She missed it. From possessing the gate of the enemy, he said, now, a man that possesses that faith still will take God's word regardless of circumstances. Now, if you can't do that, then you're not Abraham's seed. Listen. A man that possesses that faith, we're talking about the faith of the Son of God, still will take God's word regardless of circumstances. Regardless of circumstances. Now, if you can't do that, then you're not Abraham's seed. If you have a desire in your life, listen, if you have a desire in your life, and it's in here for you to have it, then it's yours. You say, oh, it'll never happen to me. That's your lack of faith. It's not lack of the promise. You got to claim it and confess it. Every day confess it. That little woman, she knew that her husband was coming, and she knew that the owner of the ranch was coming. Within a year, she confessed it every day, and people made fun of her for it. I'm going to be married. I'm going to be married. I'm going to be married in a year, in a year, in a year. I'm going to be married in a year. I'm going to be married in a year. I don't know. I don't even know where he's at. But he's coming. He's coming. What happened? He came. You understand? And in the spiritual, we're going to go. We are being conformed to the image. We are being manifested as sons of God. We are being made ready for the going home. If you can't do that, then you're not Abraham's seed. That's the faith of Abraham had. His seed. The promise of Abraham was that his seed now, his royal seed also, as I told you a while ago, and this seal that he gave Abraham was the seal of promise. And the royal seed, according to Ephesians 4:30, is sealed by the Holy Ghost after they stood the test. Try to think of it. Many think that they got the Holy Ghost. Many claim to have the Holy Ghost. Many can show many evidences and signs of it, but still, if it can't stay with this word, it's not the Holy Ghost. See, you believe every word when you're sealed after the test. When we believe every promise in the word, then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit to confirm the promise. That's what Abraham, the way he did it. Then and only then have we the right to possess the gate of the enemy. You cannot do it until you first become that seed. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. In closing, from Patriarch Abraham, he said, just think, the patriarch was fully persuaded in his test of the promise of the word of God was right. Regardless of what the circumstances was, he still believed the word was right. Abraham, the great patriarch, never wavered in faith when he was brought to that testing time. He believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. He believed it because God made the promise. Listen, 75 years old, and God told him he would have a son through his wife Sarah, who's 65. He waited 25 years, but he kept professing, kept professing, kept professing. As Brother Brown said, you know, he'd say, she complained about, oh man, we're getting old, not feeling good. He said, get the booties ready, or get the diapers ready, get the little pins ready. He believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. He believed it because God made the promise, and when God made a promise that he'd be the father of nations, and he believed that that was so, he didn't know how it would be when the baby come after he trusted 25 years and asked to destroy the baby. He still knew that God's promise was true, and he gave his son, his seed, the same thing. I'm a child of Abraham. Are you a child of Abraham? Then whatever promise God has in this word, there's 800 promises for. You believe God. And he'll bring it to pass. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask you, Lord, because here we stand, some having had prayers answered for specific things, but not for others. And some, Lord, having a desire and not seeing it fulfilled. Help their faith never to waver. Help them to believe in their heart that desire is there. You put it there, God. Therefore, you have the answer. Hallelujah. For where there's a fish with a fin on, there's a water to swim in. Where there's a deep calling, there is a deep to respond. And so, Lord, we just pray and ask you to bless that deep calling and bring forth the response, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, Abraham kept coming back to God. Say, Lord, I don't have a child. I'm waiting for the child. I've got this guy here. He's a head of my household. He's my servant, but he's not from my own loins. Abraham was expecting right then God would do something. He was looking for an action. And God said, but you have my word. You have my word. That's all you need. You have my word. That's all you need. Hold fast to that word and watch what God can do. And he will do. If you believe, he will do exactly as your heart's desire. Hallelujah. Let's just sing this song. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And remember, just think of these words now as we sing it.